Daf is Daf Lamin Gimel. So we got to two lines down. The Gemara is still on the topic of Bias Mikzas Shmabir, Lav Shmabir. So Gemara says, Lema Masayle, let's say the following Bryce is going to support the position above of Ula, and Ula was the one who held Bias Mikzas Shmabir. So what does he say? What does Bryce say? Kas Michal Shayusham, Karlemani, Takef Smicha Shchita. So I say all smichas require that right after the smicha, you have to do shchita immediately. Take off the smicha, shchita. That applies to all the different smichas. Chutz, mizu, with the exception of one where you don't have to have smicha next to shchita. Shahayisa b'shas shar nikner. Shar nikner was the entry, the main entry into the Azara called shar nikner. The Gemara and Yuma talk about why it's called shar nikner. So that shar nikner, that gate, was where the mitzvah would do the smicha. Shei mitzvah yachli kanesh l'sham ad shemazin alav midam chataso midam hashama. We know that a mitzvah, or anyone else for that matter who's tameh, may not enter into the azara. Now, a person's mitzvah, the problem is he needs to get the blood from the karban on him to become tahor. So how did he do the smicha? He can't enter into the Beis HaMikdash. So how did he do smicha? So for him, they'd have to do smicha outside where he's allowed to go at Shar Nikna. Shar Nikna, Rashi explains, there's no Kedusha at that particular gate. So he'd stand by the Shar Niknor, and then he'd do smicha on the animal. Then they'd bring the animal inside, and then they'd shacht it and bring the blood back out to where he was to sprinkle it onto his hands. So all the other smichas are required takeif, the smicha shchita. How do we know they have to do smicha right before shchita or shchita right after smicha? So Rashi says, look at two narrow lines down, three narrow lines down. Take of the smicha shchita kidichsev v'samach v'shacha. The two psukim next to each other, the word use the word samach, and then the next pasuk says v'shacha, that they should be right next to each other. The smicha and then shchita, which again could be accomplished by every karban with the exception of the mitzvah. So that's what the Braisa says. So how does that impact our discussion of a mikzas bia shma bia? So says the Gemara as follows. And v'i amris bia mikzas lo shme bia. If you would assume that partially entering into an ezera is not called an entrance, so bia mikzas lo shma bia. So lael yadev lismach, let the mitzvah enter in, put his hands at least into the ezera. So the Shar Niknor, there's no Kedusha. Let him go as far as possible, as much as we allow him, where there's no violation. And then when he gets to that line, stick his hands in where the animal is, and then do smicha, and then let the animal shecht right there on the spot, because it's the animals in the Azara. So the fact that we don't allow that tells us that even mixus bia, bias mixus, it's called bia. So the Gemara says, not true. Amr of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Hamani Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehudihi Tamar Marchik Tzafam," that the north is further away. What's going on here? There's an area of the Beis Hamikdash where there's kedushas azara, but it's not roy for doing the shchita. The shchita of a karban nechatas, let's say, for example, has to be done in the north. Now, what's considered north? Well, north of the mizbeach. So if I don't know if there's any images for you guys to see. I have an image there, so I don't have it in front of me. But if you want to have the image, so when you walk into the Azara, so the way it works is there are 11 Amos called Ezras Yisrael. And it was Ezras Noshim first rather than Ezras Yisrael. So 11 Amos Ezras Noshim, 11 Amos of Ezras Yisrael. And then you get to the Mizbeach. And above the Mizbeach, north of the Mizbeach, is called the Azara, what we're talking about. So what about north of the Mizbeach? But it goes further out east, closer to the Shar Niknor. Let's say, is that considered north of the Mizbeach if it's going in the 11 Amos of Ezras Yisrael and the 11 Amos of the Ezras Nashim? Is that called north or not? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, it's not called north. So meaning, even though the Mitzvah in theory could go up to the line of the Azara and stick his hands in into the Ezras Nashim and Ezras Yisrael, it's still not, the Shechita has to be done close to the Mizbeach, 22 Amos away of the Kedusha. I mean, up until this point, there is an opinion that thinks north is anywhere above the Mizbeach, even if it's right next to the exit, next to the Shar, that's still considered north. So let him stick his hands in that area. And the Gemara says, no, those 22 Amos, which are between the gate and the Mizbeach, are not roy for the shchita, according to Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, and therefore, even though he can stick his hands in and do the smicha, you need to still take the animal 22 amos away to the north of the mizbeach to do the shchita. And since marchik tafam, there's no way to accomplish this din of takef the smicha shchita. That's what the Gemara explains. So the Gemara now says, okay, so therefore we can't do smicha and shchita right next to each other, but there is another approach. Perhaps we could do the following. Liabed Pishpesh. What's a Pishpesh? Those who learn Maseches Tamid would be familiar, and Maseches Midos talks about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The way it worked was every single morning, the person who did Chumash Hadeshin, they would have a whole Hagrala. They would do a Goral, who would do the Chumash Hadeshin, which is the first Avoda every single morning. So they picked it out, they did like a 21st finger type of thing, the Gemara explains, and then whoever got picked, he does the Chumash Hadeshin. Now the Chumash Hadeshin, that Kohen who does it, goes in before the Azar is opened up. Before the Shaar Niknas opened up, it stays locked. It was actually locked on the inside, so you couldn't open it up. So there's a little Pishpesh, like a little doggy, what do you call that? Doggy door, you know, they go through the doors, that little flap, dogs go through. The picture is like a small little tunnel, like a small little entrance way he goes through, and he kind of goes through this tunnel around the base of Migdash to make sure nothing was tampered with, and he walks inside from through that pishbash, and he washes his hands, he does Shumas Hadeshin, and then they open up the big gates to allow everyone to come in. So that Pishbesh is what existed in the for the Chumash Hadeshin, for the Kohen to go to the Chumash Hadeshin. So Gemara says, let's make a Pishbesh here, make a little doggy hole near the Tzafon. So right now, if you imagine this is the east behind me, that's the east, and that's the west, and that's the north, and that's the south. So the Kohen would normally come in from the east, the Shaar Niknas would open up, there'd be this big Mizbeach here, the ramp goes down to the south, that's the Mizbeach in front of you. So now problem is, if I'm the Mitzorah, I stick my hands in here, but the Shechita is done over there. So why not make a little Pishbesh on the northern part of the base of Migdash and stick the hands in that way through that little hole, and then I'll do smicha, and then the Kohen inside will shech the animal. So why not make such a little hole? And this way we could accomplish smicha and take off the smicha shchita. So Gemara says it's a very nice suggestion, but the difficulty is Abai, Virava, Dami, Tevayu, both of them hold Hakol, based on the Pasuk in Divayam, Hakol, Bichsav, Miyad Hashem. Everything has to be based on the way Hashem wrote it. Alai hiskil kol malachos ha-tavnis, the malacha, the building of the tavnis, of the image of the Beis HaMikdash, has to be exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Shlomo HaMelech. And since this pishbesh, this little, I feel bad calling it a doggy hole or a doggy door, but this little door was not part of the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore you can't make your own holes, your own doorways, or anything else. It's not there, you can't create it. And therefore you're stuck. It's EF sharp in an acher, and therefore you cannot allow the Mitzorah to do a take of l'smicha shchita. Okay, so where we stand right now is that since again we are saying that really bias miktas lash mebia, and the Mitzorah can stick his hands into the zara, just his hands. That's fine. But again, the problem is, since the animals where he could go is too far from where the shechita is going to take place, it's not going to help you with the concept of tekef l'smicha shechita. So now the Gemara says, where are we now? Ikadamri, there are others who say, Amr of Yosef, kol asomich rosho verubo machnes. Whenever a person does smicha, you need to have your head and your body into the same area, meaning what? Really, you can shecht wherever you want. You can shecht right near the door of Shaar Niknas. And really, the Mitzorah may stick his hands in because Bias Mikdash Lav Shmebia. The problem is, it's not going to accomplish the smicha that you need. Because you need your whole body, and most of your body, and your head, in the area where you're doing smicha. My taima, kol kocha ba'inan, hokach lo efsha. When you do smicha, it's not just like touching the head of the animal. You need to press your, it's like really pressing your body and your weight on the animal. If you're only your hands are allowed in the azar where the animal is, you can't accomplish kol kocha. So it's not because of Bias Mikdash Shema Bia. You're allowed to stick your hands in as the Mitzorah. And you can even shech the carbon right there on the spot next to Shaar Niknas. But since you don't have the ability to accomplish a full kol kocho of the smicha, and that's why it doesn't work. So we have the smicha take place outside the Beis HaMikdash, where the Mitzorah could put all his weight on, and then we bring the animal inside, north of the Mizbech, in order to shech it in the Tzafa. Okay, if you look at Tosis for a second, Dibur Maschil, the Liaved, Pishpesh. So the Gemara had suggested, let's make a little hole for the Mitzorah on the northern part so you could do smicha from that area. So the Gemara says, we can't do that. We can't change it because the Pasuk says, in Divrei Yamim HaKol B'Ksav Yad Miyad Hashem, the way it's written. So the Hadmo Sifin Al Ha'ir V'Al Ha'azaros, don't we have Gemaras in Masech HaShavuos that said they would add and expand onto the areas of the city of Yerushalayim and onto the areas of the Azara. That wasn't a kol b'ksav yad, b'yad miyad Hashem. Hainu heicha de'ika le'meimar kra ashkechu v'darish. Those cases, you have to say, they found this certain pasuk which indicated to them that you're allowed to add on to the dimensions. Ki hahi de sukkah, he refers to Gemara and Sukkah, Daphne and Alf, where they found the pasuk to justify how they could add on to the Azaras. But anything short of that, if there is no pasuk, you can't add on, because a kol b'ksav yad, miyad Hashem. So then he says, Miu Kasher, Our case here, there's no greater pasuk. Meaning what? You need to do smicha on the mitzvah, the asham of the mitzvah, and you need to have a take of smicha shechita. Isn't that a pasuk that's needed? So the fact that you have to accomplish that, doesn't that necessitate making a pishbeish on the top and the north of the mizbeach? Isn't that a pasuk that would allow you to do this? So he says, "The navid pishbeish lekayim mitzvah smicha derachman amar v'samach." It's a pasuk that needs to require smicha, so that should allow you to make a hole, an entranceway. Ulamai demasik demesmichas asher mitzara lav deraisa nicha. We're going to get in the end of the Gemara today that smicha on an asher mitzara isn't really deraisa. Even though all other smichas are, smichas asher mitzara is not deraisa. So since it's not deraisa, there is no pasuk that requires us to change the dimensions, change any of the blueprints of the Beis Hamikdash. Fine. The next line is a little confusing. We skip the next line, but look at the next few lines in Tosfos where it says v'had amar, three wide lines down in Tosfos. When you shecht an animal, what's the halacha? The halacha is when you shecht, which types of animals require kisui adam? Anyone remember? Chaya? Chaya, no. If a behema, a domesticated animal like a cow, doesn't require kisui adam, a chaya, a wild animal like a deer, or an oaf, a chicken, require kisui adam midiraisa. So what about if you shecht an animal in the Beis Hamikdash? You shecht a wild animal, or really, I guess an oaf. You have to an oaf, it would be what? Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I believe. No? So you shech the bird in the Beis Hamikdash, you require kisei adam. So the Gemara says, ein noeg b'mukdashim, it's not practiced when it comes to mukdashim. Why? Mishum del efshar, there's no way to perform kisei adam. Why not? Deheichel yavid, what should you do? Levale, if you're going to bring dirt into the Beis Hamikdash, kamosiv ad binyanim, you're building on the ritzpah, you're adding on to the floor, that's adding on to, and we know, kobik sav yad miyad Hashem, you can't change the dimensions, any part of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, "V'ein zeh chashiv k'mo kra." So what do you mean? The mitzvah of kisui adam, isn't that a pasuk that should justify allowing you to build onto the Beis Hamikdash? He says, "Kevin de lo kasev behedya b'kra sheyinhog kisui adam b'mukdashim." It's not considered mefurish b'kra. Since the pasuk doesn't say you need kisui adam by the hektish animals, that's not considered urgent enough to allow you to violate this concept of akol b'chsav yad miyad Hashem. Now, other interesting point here. Yeah. Sorry? They did Malika, you're right, they did Malika. So you say maybe Malika doesn't require Kisoy Hadam. Mitzad that's true. So may has to go on the Chayas and may the Chayas in the basement, but no Chayas either. Alright, I don't know. Tzarachia, we're looking at the Gemara Kisoy Hadam. Look at the Pe Gimel. Tzarachim, we'll look there. Okay. Gemara now says, my kasavar, halfway down the page, my kasavar, what do we hold here? So this idea that we said, that kol smicha shichas tekef l'smicha shchita, after you do the smicha, you have to do a shchita immediately, except for the asher mitzara. So what's the understanding by the asher mitzara, why we don't require tekef l'smicha shchita? So Gemara says, I kasavar smichas asher mitzara deraisa. If you hold that the need for the mitzara to do a smicha, to press all his weight on that asher mitzara, if that's a din deraisa, and if you also hold the tekef l'smicha shchita deraisa, and the need to have the smicha immediately followed by shchita is also deraisa. So meaning smicha is deraisa, and the immediately following shchita has to be deraisa. So then what's the problem? Leil v'lismoch lehedya, d'rachman amar. Allow the mitzara to walk blatantly into the Beis Hamikdash, into the Azara, because he has to do two deraisas. He has to do smicha, and you have to do the shchita immediately afterwards. And deraisas, these two deraisas should be able to violate, to override his entry into the Azara. So just look at Tosa just for a second, a very fascinating Tosa, which is a chiddush to me. Neil v'nismoch, let him go in and do smicha. Kevin de lo efshar b'in achav, there's no other way around this. Below mekayim and smicha b'tara, because he can't do a smicha while he's tara, because the only way he becomes tar is through the carbon. So he can't become tar. So the only way to do it is for him to walk in there as a tameh, as a mitzora. Below dami l'shar tameim, it's not similar to all other types of people who are tameh. Shemeshalchin karbonosem, Gemara Moed Katan tells us, and also Gemara Zvachim, that a person who's tameh can send a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash. So if he sends a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, how does he accomplish smicha? Where's the smicha if he's tameh? So why don't we say, let him go in? Below Armina, we don't say, ne'ul v'nismoch. Why not let him go in and do smicha inside? Dimekaima smicha did too, bitara. It's a very strange shows us. So I don't really get this. I'll just say my tzarich in outside. I'm clearly missing some information here. He says the person who's tamei, he waits until he's tahor to do smicha. So if he's waiting until he's tahor to do smicha, because he can become tahor, a person who is a tamei meis, he becomes tahor by going to the mikvah and then going the paraduma. Person who's a sheretz or a balkari goes to the mikvah. So he only does smicha once he's tahor. And the Torah can't become tahor until he brings the carbon. He's attached to that carbon. But a tamei meis isn't attached to that carbon at all. So when it comes to the tamei person, he waits till he becomes tahor, then he does smicha and sends off the carbon. But the question becomes, if he's tahor, why is he sending off the carbon? He's tahor at that point. So I don't know the situation here of when a tamei would be sending a carbon and then he waits till he's tahor to do smicha. So I don't know. I'm not sure. But okay. Gemara now says, so we said if it's a deraisa to do smicha on asha mitzara, and it's a deraisa to do the shechita immediately afterwards, so just let the mitzara walk right into the azara and do smicha to fulfill those two dina deraisa. So says the Gemara, Amarav Adabar Amasna Gezera Shemayarbe Psios. The concern is once we allow him to walk in, he can, you're right. He really can walk into the Azara as a Mitzora and do Smicha and have the Shechita done right away. But there's a concern he might walk more spaces than he should. He might go out of the way, might take a little detour. So look at Rashi. Rashash points out in this Rashi, if you look at Rashi, Dibra Maschel Shemayarbe Psios, it's around halfway down the wide lines. La'acher Shesamach. After the smicha, he might take some extra steps. In Mikones Psil et Sad Pinim, Yoser Mishiat Sarach Nimts Anishkar. He's going to take extra steps. So Rosh Hashanah points out 2 points. One is only afterwards, but beforehand he can take a detour. As long as he has a certain toelis to go do the smicha, he can take a long route. I want to explore the base. The Mikdash a little bit, he's allowed to, as long as it's beforehand. Afterwards is when the concern comes in. Number two is it's only Asr, says Rashash, if he's going Litzad Pnim, going further. But to walk backwards, if he's walking a slow angle outside, that's all permitted. So, no, he's allowed to leave. He's allowed to leave. He just can't walk further, and says Rashi.
Why is he allowed to leave?
Why is he allowed to leave? Because he needs to.
The staff is the opposite. I mean, when he's tired, then he would say, okay, now you can walk. Till he does the smicha, he's still tummy.
Correct.
And
the shechita, no, he kept his record this time.
Right.
So once he did the shechita, but then they have to do kabbalah, so he can't just wait there.
Right.
He has to go outside now, wait for his hands to be sprinkled on. So he's not tahor yet.
I'm saying only after that part can you. Would you say, okay, now you can walk around. I have a meaning to say that beforehand, before he does anything, he should be able to walk around. He's still in a state of tumah. No.
You know, but even afterwards, he's still tahor. If he's done smicha yet, but he hasn't yet
done kabbalah,
so he's waiting for the kohen to do his thing. He now runs outside and just waits there, his hands dangling inside the azara. So he's still tamei. So we need to get him out of there as soon as possible. So the Gemara now says, that's why we don't let him walk in because of chashash shema yarbe psios. So ikadami, there is another position here that says Amar Rav Adabar Masna smichas ashem mitzora is deraisa v'tekef l'smicha shchita. Lav deraisa. So meaning what, a Asher Mitzorah requires smicha, but you don't have to have it immediately followed by the shechita. So in other words, the Mitzorah does need to go in. The Mitzorah can do smicha outside, he fulfilled his deraisa, and then you don't have to have shechita right away, so you could drag the animal in, it's 22 amos, in order to have the shechita done, even though there's going to be an interruption. So the Gemara says, smicha is deraisa, but tekef smicha l'shechita is not deraisa. So the Gemara asks, and I just pay attention to this question, Meisive. The Samach V'Shachet, says the Pasuk, two Pesukim adjacent to each other, you need Smicha and Shechita right next to each other. So the Gemara darshins, Ma Smicha B'Tahorin, Av Shechita B'Tahorin. Just like we saw yesterday, that you have to be Lifnei Hashem to do Smicha, you have to be Tahor to do Smicha, so too for Shechita you have to be Tahor. So now what's the question? V'Da'i Amris, if you say, Lav Daraisa, if it's not Daraisa, that what's not Daraisa, that takeif L'Smicha Shechita, is not deraisa, so b'tmei nami mishkachza tmeim. Also, you could find the same din. What's that kasha here? So Rashi says, if you don't need to have smicha and shechita right away, how come you could conclude a tahor does this? If you don't have to be lefnei Hashem, let the tamei person do it outside, and then because he's allowed to be outside, the tamei person let him do smicha out there, and then you could bring the animal inside to do shechita 22 amos further away. So why are we concluding here that a tahor person can't do smicha at all? He can do smicha. So the Gemara says, let's switch things around, ela epoch, and say as follows. really smichas al shem mitzara lav deraisa. It's really not a deraisa. B'tekev l'smicha shchita is deraisa. So you don't really acquire smicha, but when smicha is applied, then you have to do the shchita immediately after the smicha. That is a din deraisa. So therefore, since smicha l'shchita is there, are tekev smicha l'shchita is deraisa, that's how we can conclude that a Torah person, just like a Torah person, the shchita can be done by only a Torah person, so too smicha can also only be done by a Torah person. Okay, Tosfos, look at Tosfos at the bottom here. He quotes, he points out from Rashi here, Epoch smicha asha mitzora lav deraisa here. Le'el per kama daf yud alf, we learn yalfinan shara shamos, midichsiv kichatas vikasham, we learn that ma chatas ta'an smicha af asham ta'an smicha. The Pasuk says that a chatas requires smicha. And now through this gezeiras hakasuv, we say not only does a chatas, but also an asham requires a smicha. So how could the Gemara suggest here that asham mitzora doesn't require smicha on a deraisa level? So he says, imkein kasha, afil asham mitzora nami. So Mashi Perish Bakunches, what's Kunches, what's Rashi say? The Katsavar Aina Bachlal Shar Shamos Mishum to Aina Ba Elalahakshid. The Asham at Torah is very different than other Ashamos. An Asham, carbon Asham, is a guilt offering, which means when a person isn't sure if he did an Aveir, he wasn't sure if he ate Chalev or if he ate Shuman. Shuman's permitted fat, Chalev is Asr fat, he wasn't sure, he brings a carbon Asham. That's because of a Chatas, some level of an Isser he's not sure about. An Asham at Torah is not there for any Avera, it's there as a heter to allow him to eat Karbanos moving forward, nothing to do with the world of Avera, and therefore even though it's called an Asham, it doesn't act like other Karbanos Ashamos, and therefore even though an Asham normally does require Smicha, Asham at Torah doesn't necessarily require a Smicha. Okay, now the interesting discussion in the postgame here, they talk about that when a person washes his hands, whole other topic, and washes his hands, he's not allowed to be mafsik bein netila lemotzi. Some say you can, some say you can't be mafsik. So when you, those who paskin that say you cannot be mafsik, you can't interrupt. Rama says, how long of an interruption is considered too long? Obviously, you have to go from a certain point from your washing hands in the sink to go sit down and eat. How long can the person wait? He says 22 amos. That's his shir, 22 amos. What's 22 amos based on? Because the Gemara says there are a few things that have to be immediate. Take of smich l'shchita, take of nitzis adayim l'su'udah, the Gemara says. So we have a comparison. So just like the smich is done outside from the Metzora, and it needs to be taken 22 amos, 11 amos of the Ezes Nashim, 11 amos of the Ezes Israel. That's 22 amos until it gets to the makom hashchita. So just like that's considered a hefsek, so to v'ntil sedaim, 22 amos is considered a hefsek. Some posts can point out, though, we know that 22 amos is certainly considered a hefsek, but it's possible even less than that might also be a less considered hefsek. Whoever said less than that is not considered. All we know is that's the metzius in the base of Migdash. 22 amos is definitely considered a hefsek, but maybe 10 amos is also considered a hefsek. They don't really know. In my old house, we used to have where the position of the dining room was. Whoever built the house, there was a sink mamish in the dining room because they had some plants out there, so they would water it. So they had a sink mamish in the dining room. So my brother-in-law came over for a meal. He was very excited because there's mamish takeif nitiyat adayim l'suuda. You mamish get out of your chair, you turn around, you wash your hands, and you sit back down. There's no changing of rooms. There's no 22 amos. Everything was very nice, smooth, and efficient. Okay, the Gemara now says, going on to the top of Amud Beis, now I'm going to give Amud Beis. The Gemara says a whole other angle of our discussion. Up until now, we've been discussing bias mixas shmabia, and this conversation we had in yesterday's daf was when a person sticks his hand, a person tummy sticks his hand in the base of Mikdash in Tfilas Ara, he violates, it's considered a bia, and he violates, not only does he get malchus according to Reish Lakish we saw yesterday, but he also gets a chi of karis. We're going back to yesterday's daf now. He gets a chi of karis for putting his hands inside. So we had this whole kasha, if that's the case, how come if a person, a mitzora, who is also a Baal Keri on Er Pesach, how does he become Tahor? So he says he's allowed to stick his hand into the base of Mikdash. Isn't a violation of Kares? Gemara says, no, since the Pasuk explicitly says a Metzora may stick his hands in, and since he's also a Baal Keri at the same time, it's Matir both of them together. That was the whole yesterday's approach. Comes along Ravina. Ravina says, there's no Kasha at all. Amar Le'inyan Malkos Itmar. When we said in yesterday's daf that Reish Lakish says Bias Mikza Shma Bia, that was only with respect to Malkos. But with respect to Kares, there is no Chi of Kares on Bias Mikzas. And if there's no Chi of Kares on Bias Mikzas, it's never Kasha. How come the Baal Keri, who's a Metzora, could stick his hands in to get a tower for Karim Pesach? There's no Kares to deal with. So the Asse Kares of Karim Pesach could certainly override the this assay of getting malchus of bias miktas shmabia. And that's again a whole other angle and throws out all kashas. There's a very interesting tosis here. It requires a little bit of paying attention, but it's interesting nonetheless. Look at tosis dira maskel inin malchus itmar. He says perish bekuntrish avalol inin kares the tosfia mitzora shira kari. When it comes to bias miktas, it's only a violation with respect to malchus, but not with respect to kares. So hikchus harav Rabbeinu Chaim. There's still a question here. So wait a second here. So right now there's an assay of Karban Pesach. Going back to our discussion of Karban Pesach, which is a mitzvah assay, deraisa. An assay has the ability to be doche los assay, but it cannot be doche an assay plus a los assay together. So what do you mean? Because lav dinegiyah b'miktas v'tamehiyah l'rabos tivul yom. So there's two violations. When a tivul yom goes into the base of Mikdash, he's violating a lav and negiyah, which is he can't enter in, and also a violation of aseh of yihiyah. You have to stay out of the base of Mikdash. So an aseh of Karban Pesach cannot be doche an aseh and los aseh of tumah in the base of Mikdash. The old kasha, moreover, afilu lav greda heichadachile, even if it's a lav greda, the concept of aseh Dochelos assay. Forget the other assay here. Just assume for a second it's assay Karban Pesach against the lav of Tumah of the Mikdash. Even that cannot work unless what? Be'idna dimikar lav lo mekayim assay. Only if they come at the same moment. So for example, let's say the Gemara gives an example of a child has a tzaras, a neged tzaras in his makom amila. So if you violate, there's an isser of removing a tzaras of lav deraisa. So how could you remove it? You're performing the bris milah. The Gemara says, "Asei amila k'midocha the los asei removing a tzras." It all comes in at the moment you makayim the asei amila. You're removing the lav asei docha los asei. Or for example, let's say shatan is and wearing tzitzis tcheilas. So there's a mitzvah to wear tcheilas, but there's a lav to wear shatan is of two different linen and wool. But if you're wearing tcheilas, the mitzvah of tcheilas is able to override the lav of shatan. It comes b'inna at the same time. Here, however, when the mitzvah of the Baal Keri sticks his hands in to become tahor, he violates the aseh, or the lav, but the aseh of Karban Pesach doesn't come until 2 hours later when he shechs the Karban Pesach. That's not b'inna. So we have two problems here. How could the Karban Pesach be docha, the aseh and los aseh, two isurim of the Baal Keri, and also it's lav b'inna, it's not at the same time. So the Yeshlomer Tosa says, the aseh sheyesh bo karis chamor b'dachile. That's by a typical assay has those restrictions. We're talking about the assay of Karban Pesach. An assay of Karban Pesach has a karis. Assay sheyesh b'karis is chamer. That has the ability to overwhelm an assay and a los assay, and it also has the ability to overwhelm even if it's shalom b'inna. Even when it's not at the same time, that's how potent the Karban Pesach is. And then look what he says further now, a very fascinating point here. Three lines down in Tosafot, he asks, Vim Tomar, Valo gabe assay dimitzora. The chamer, the assay mitzora is also very severe, very stringent. How so? Mishum shalom bias, which is very interesting. That we have an assay sheyesh bekaris, which is very severe, and there's an assay that has to do with a shalom bias of him becoming tahor, be back with his wife. That's very important as well, and it's dachi assay. So an assay mitzora can be docha an assay. V'afilu hachi lo dachi lo assay ba the assay. Meaning, trying to prove that we have sometimes an assay that's very strong. But it doesn't necessarily doche something that's an aseh los aseh together. So Karban Pesach also, even though it's chamer, who says it should be able to be doche an aseh and a los aseh of the Baal Keri? To which Tosus ends up answering, no, there are different levels, of course. A mitzvah is very chamer in a very nice way in terms of shalom bias, which of course is very important. But it's not as potent as a Karban Pesach, which has an aseh sheyesh bo karis. So there are different levels of aseh in terms of being doche other Eastern. Okay, back to the Gemara. Before one other point here, this actually becomes a very interesting discussion. This whole sugi here, bias miksa shmabia, in terms of shail of sticking your hands in the holes of the kosel or sticking letters in, is that bias miksa shmabia or la bia? So it gets into whole, of course, historically, in terms of is that the wall of the azara, is that the wall of the outside of har bias? So a lot of history is there as well. But this is the sugi where the posim discuss whether it's permitted to touch the wall or even stick your hands in the wall. So then the Gemara says, Ki also Rabban, when Rabban came, Amar Rabbi Yabou, Linyan Tame Shinaga Bekodesh Itmar. We're taking a whole nother angle right now. This whole sugi, the past two daf, were all about Bias Mixas Shma Bia. Now Rabin says you got it all wrong, nothing to do with this at all, nothing to do with Bias Mikdash. Has to do with a Tame person who touches a Kodesh. When a person who's Tame touches Kodesh, he gets Malchus. That's what Reish Lakish is talking about, and we can throw out the whole conversation of Bias Mixas, Shma Bia, Ola Bia. So let's hear this discussion. Ditmar, three lines down, Olam Gimel Amar Beis, Tame Shanaga Bakodesh, the Tame person who touches a Kodshim, Reish Lakish Amar Loki, you receive lashes for doing so. The violation on a Deraisa level, Rabbi Yochan Amar, Ein Loka, there are no Malchus. Reish Lakish Amar Loka, why? What's the basis? That touching a Tame person who touches Kodesh gets Malchus. Those who learn Maseches Malchus should be remembering this. B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga, B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga, anything Kodesh, don't touch. One who touches it gets a lav. We know any time there's no punishment specified, and the word lo or pen or hishamer is used, that indicates the punishment is Malchus. The sin says b'chol Kodesh Lo Siga, the punishment is Malchus for touching Kodesh when a person is tamei. Certainly it can't be talking about a person who's tahor, because of course a tahor person may touch the Kodesh, so it must be talking about a tamei person who touches Kodesh gets Malchus. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar, eino loka, there are no lashes for such a violation. Hahu b'tshuma ksiv. B'chol Kodesh is referring to tshuma. Tshuma is also called Kodesh, so it's talking about a person who touches tshuma, not a person who touches Kodesh. So if a tummy person touches Kodesh, he would not get Malchus according to Rabbi Yochanan, and that's how we pass him. So then the Gemara says, where's what?
There's no touching of Kodesh
yet. U'b'chol Kodesh lo siga. Siga means to touch.
Where? What's he touching?
Kodesh. Kodshim.
Who?
A person who's Tameh.
But not in our Gemaras that we just had before?
No, we're taking a whole other approach now.
So when we,
to what Reish Lakish said, when we said Reish Lakish initially said, B.S. Mixas Shma Bia, right, the Gemara quoted his statement from him, that Tameh Shehichnes Yado Lefnim Loke Shenemar Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. He quoted that passage to say that a person sticks his hand in.
You can stick the hand as much as you want.
Exactly.
Hands
so, Gemara says, is that what you mean?
It has to do with something about touching food.
Exactly. You misread Reish Lakish. He didn't say that at all. He said, one who touches Kodesh is going to get Malchus. So, Gemara then says, Reish Lakish, hai krala hachu dehasi? Is it really true that Pasuk b'chol Kodesh lo siga tell me one who's tame may not touch Kodesh and get Malchus for doing so? Hai mi violates needed for a whole nother source. Azhara lo ochel Basar Kodesh, not to touching Kodesh, but to eating Kodesh when a person who's Tame. When a person who's Tame eats Kodesh, he gets Malchus. And that's based on the Pasuk Becholo Kodesh Lo Siga. Even though it says Lo Siga, which means literally touching, it's interpreted as meaning not to eat. Ditmar, we have an explicit statement of Reish Lakish. Azhara Laochel Basar Kodesh Minayin. What's the source that one is warned, one gets lashes for eating Kodesh when in the state of Tumah? Reish Lakish Amar, Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga, don't touch it. Even though it means, again, literally Lo Siga, we darshan in just a moment, it refers to eating. So if you eat Kodesh when Tame, you get Malchus. Nothing to do with touching. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he agrees to the din that one gets Malchus for eating Kodesh when Tame, but he argues on the source. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Tana Bardala, he quotes a Braisa, Asya Tumasa Tumasa, there's a Gezerah Shava. It says, Mibias Mikdash. The Gezerah Shava says, Tumasa by entering into the base of Mikdash when Tame, and it says, Tumaso when eating Kodesh when Tame. So we say, Ma, just like Malahal and Anish Vihizah, just like a person Tame enters into the base of Mikdash, is warned and gets punished for doing so, Afkan, so to hear, by one who eats Kodesh when Tame is also Anish Vihizir. So they agree to the din that you get Malchus. Reish Lakish learns it based on Los Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. Rabbi Yochanan learns it based on the Gezerah Shava Tumasa Tumasa. Either way, Reish Lakish can't use the same pasuk for two different Yisurim. Either La Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga teaches me you can't eat it, or it teaches you can't touch it. It can't be both. So the Gemara says no. Tame Shenoga Bekodesh Midafka Rachmana Balasha Negiya. Really, that the ability of the violation of touching Kodesh is learned out from the fact that Lo Siga is used. Azhara La Ochel Midiskesh Kodesh Lemikdash. The violation of eating is learned from the Hekesh. So really, he's learning two different dinim from two different drashas. One's from a Hekesh, one's from the literal translation. So look at Rashi just to make this clear. Rashi says six lines up from the bottom here. Azhara le'ochel. Iker kra midrash. The real drasha is midiskash kodesh lemikdash. From the hekesh of kodesh to the base of mikdash. By kra dashinon. Ma bias mikdash davar sheish bakares. Just like when a person enters into the base of mikdash, when tame he's chayav kares. af azhara kodesh davar sheyesh bo kares v'haynu achila. This is a quote from the Gemara in the Makos, I believe. So too, when a person, the violation of not entering into the Beis HaMikdash, but dealing, addressing Kodesh, could only be something that would otherwise have a karis. Meaning what? That when the person, lo siga, is similar to Bias Mikdash. Bias Mikdash is an act, Bia into the Beis HaMikdash is an act that's chayav karis. So too, lo siga has to be an act that would normally get karis. What normally gets karis? We don't find anywhere that touching something results in kodesh, in karis. So we have to interpret it, lo siga, to be a maisa that would get karis in another instance, namely achila. Achila does warrant a karis in many instances. Achila's kar, achila's achelav gets karis. So we're saying lo siga has to be similar to vs mikdash, which is an act that required that warrants a karis, namely achila. Now, even though the achila's kodesh doesn't result in karis, one only gets some malkos for eating kodesh when tameh. But in terms of defining the maisa, it has to be a maisa that otherwise is worthy of a kares, just like bias mikdash is worthy of a kares. So that's what we learn from this hakesh of mikdash to kodesh, and from the fact that the word lo siga is used when it shouldn't be used, that teaches us a second drasha that negias kodesh would also be a separate violation and warrant its own set of malchus. That's the understanding according to Reish Lakish.
Why do you use Negiyah instead of Achila?
To tell me that not only is Achila going to be Aser, but Negiyah is also going to be Aser as a separate Iser. Achila, I mean, the Pasuk could have said something like
Lo Socha
would have been very clear. It could have been something even more ambiguous. Lo, and what's the involvement? Lo Asuk b'Kodesh, let's say. Lo Asuk b'Kodesh. So what's at the Asik? Has to be an Asik that's similar to the B'as Mikdash, Achila. And that would be the one drasha. The fact that it said lo siga as well tells me that negia would be a second violation. Something along those lines seems to be the drasha. Let's finish off this brisa now. The Gemara says Tanya Kavasa de Reish Lakish. There's a brisa that supports this position of Reish Lakish, saying that b'chol kodesh lo siga, don't touch anything kodesh. Azhara la'ocha, this is a warning not to eat kodesh when tummy. Ata omer azhara la'ocha, you think it's a violation to eat it? Oh, eino ela l'nogea, maybe only for us to not to touch it. Talmud Lomar b'chol kodesh liusiga ve'al mikdash lo savo. The fact that it connects these two violations, ma makish kodesh l'mikdash, ma mikdash davar sheyesh bo netilas nishama. Just like entering the base of mikdash is something that would result in a chiyav karis, a netilas nishama, taking away the nishama away. So af kodesh, so to the kodesh has to be davar sheyesh bo netilas nishama. Has to be something that also would otherwise be warranting karis, namely achila. So if even again the tia neshama miika, if you take the word literally lo siga, we don't find anywhere in the Torah that touching something would ever result in a chi of kares. Ella, we're forced into saying that it's referring to ba'achila, that eating kodesh when tamei is kares. So then you ask the question: so why does it say lo siga? To tell me that there's another iser that if one touches kodesh, you'll get another set of malchus. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone, have a wonderful day.